Good news, we do have him on the phone. Transportation futurist and executive director at Skyworks Global. John, thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for letting me take part and share some thoughts with you this morning.
So, John, I know we just got you on the phone, so you probably didn't hear my tease. I teased this as we never got our flying cars, but we're soon going to get our flying taxis. These aren't exactly flying yellow taxi cabs in the skies. These are gyroplanes. Tell our audience what those are.
Absolutely. Well, a gyroplane, if you think about it, blends the best of a helicopter, which allows you to take off vertically and mitigate the need for a lot of infrastructure, with the best of a traditional airplane, which allows you to drive range, economy. So think of an airplane that has a rotor, except a lot of the complexity normally associated with that is removed. And so what you get is a solution that is very affordable, very scalable, and very, very flexible. So it provides an incredible amount of new opportunity in a technology that itself has been around for a very long time. And I like to tell people it's been the right technology waiting for the right time. And we believe the urban air taxi movement is exactly that time.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a flying buff. I fly small airplanes as a hobby. I've taken some helicopter lessons, and the gyroplane is a very cool invention that's been waiting for the right application. Now, here in town, John, we actually have a negative connotation with air taxis. We had Uber come into town during Sundance a couple years ago, and it was like an air assault from Uber. It was just one after the other after the other. So how do you address that? How do you address what some people would call potentially a nuisance and the noise associated with air taxis?
No, I think that's a fair initial critique. The reality is one of the greatest benefits that's enabling this conversation to move to the next level that we all know is multiple advances in technology. So a lot of the noise has been associated with, again, some of the older types of technology applications. When you do things like add tip jets, or when you start to think about where this market's going to be in the next 5 years, which is full electrification. So, you know, the critics are out as far as, or the experts are out on whether it's 5 years or 7 years. But we see that the electrification movement is washing across the globe based on these massive investments. So what has historically been one of the sticking points, especially if you're going to operate in an urban environment, is this notion of noise. This is why you have a lot of limitations with helicopters. A lot of these are being mitigated, again, by the move to, first, what is hybrid. And hybrid means you've got these really cheap, like, engines now. That, you know, you've got an engine that can do, it weighs 350 pounds, 350 pounds of thrust for forward movement. So you get a lot of thrust, but you also get that at lower complexity and at lower noise. You blend that now with electrification to create a hybrid approach. You create not just a much more efficient, but a quieter solution. And the part about Uber, that's a different conversation in itself. I mean, just the way they operate, the advantage to Uber, I call them a blessing and a bane. They're a bane in that they've actually made many of our streets messier because they poured a lot of capacity in there. The blessing is they've helped people reconceptualize the entire mobility experience, both on the ground and in the air. And the fact that 22 different companies have been launched in the last 24 months, raising $500 billion or $500 million, tells you how much interest there is in this urban air taxi movement.
So your company's planning to start FAA certification, I guess, next year. What is the current feeling at the FAA? Are you thinking they're pretty progressive right now? When it comes to drones, they've made some pretty big steps forward. Are you optimistic they'll do the same with this new technology?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we were just at a conference. It's put on in San Diego 3 days ago. Part of this is the president's mandate, right, to do for drone technology and these kind of unmanned systems to the incredible progressive view we've seen the Congress take on autonomous vehicle integration. Everyone recognizes this is a game changer. So if you take the gyrocraft elements of that, the advantages were second mover. And what I mean by that is there's a German company that plays in gyrocraft application at the sport level. They sell already up to an aircraft and a half a day. That's pretty significant just the last couple of years. And they were able to garner FAA certification already as of May of this last year. So already there's a growing acceptance, not just for all things manned or unmanned in the airspace. There's also, this has actually already occurred. So we'll be ushering a both manned and unmanned variant And we're quite optimistic that, again, it goes back to my statement at the beginning, it's the right technology, and we believe now is the right time.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So, John, we're a business show, and so I want to talk about the business aspects of this. So you're in an industry where you're a first mover. You're going to do all the heavy lifting. Renee's question about the FAA was very insightful because you can't do anything without the FAA's approval on this. They tend to be a slow-moving organization. They have moved quickly in drones and in other cases, but there was a lot of public outcry for that. In this case, nobody's saying, hey, I'm waiting for my air taxi, other than you and your industry peers. So you're doing the heavy lifting now. What's the advantage to you of being the first mover in this industry, as opposed to the FAA approving it and saying, okay, we can do this, and somebody copying you 6 months later?
Absolutely. No, I think it's a great question. And again, a lot of this conversation, appropriately so, is focused on America. And so this is really, if we kind of, from a business application, this is what I call the new economics of mobility. Today, we're talking specifically about this, you know, gyrocraft and how they fit within this urban air taxi dimension. The reality is we're seeing America now come to the realization that of all the things we inspire the world with, the nature of our transportation system from end to end is not an inspiring element. But we have an opportunity to reconceptualize that. You see all kinds of things going on the ground to the reordering of transportation. And what Uber has really done has sparked the possibility that the end-to-end travel chain for consumers is possible with a tap of an app. You literally now, that integrated trip chain will take care of everything on the ground to even in some cases take your commute from 2 hours to 27 minutes. And the technology is going to enable the scalability of that. But we're actually, I believe, missing the bigger value proposition here. And that is, when you look at other than first world markets, so the FAA, as you astutely pointed out, becomes one of the, I'll just say, elements that constrains the rate at which this technology might make its way to market. Except that's not the case outside the United States. If you know from my background, I mean, what I've done is kind of complex mobility challenges around the world that happen to be in the Air Force, like building air forces in war zones and other things. And we know that two-thirds of the world today doesn't have access to affordable air transportation. The reason we are incredibly excited, and we're in conversations in Africa and India, all these markets that today, because they don't have some of the limitations, are waiting for this technology. And so first mover, because of our 40 patents, allows us to now get this to not just affect America's mobility solution, we're after changing the way people experience air mobility around the world, especially in other than first world countries.
And you recently announced a joint venture. Skyworks has teamed up with something called Switch Mobility. And if I understand it correctly, Switch Mobility is an app I can download, and then it will tell me, Renee, you can take an Uber from your house to this air taxi station. The air taxi will then take you from that point to another station where you can then take an autonomous vehicle to work. Is that right? You're integrating all sorts of different, a personalized commuter plan.
That's exactly right. Think about, so all Uber and Lyft did is they gave you a personal driver, that feel that everyone can have their personal driver, you pay for it. What's been going on in Europe, especially Northern Europe, for the last several years is this move towards an integrated mobility ecosystem where you as a consumer, Renee, you're going to come on and you're going to say, here are my preferences. I'm Renee. I like to travel this way and I like these things, bike share, car share. I'll take all of it. It then simply says, I want to go from A to B. The system will, in real time, organize every possible choice, customize it to you, and the only decision hopefully you're going to have to make that morning is, do I want to go fast or do I want to go cheap? And now you can extend that. So what between Switch and what we're doing at Skyworks, it takes it to the next natural extension. People are talking a lot about the platforms right now, but the reality is it's about the economics. And the economics is you have to integrate it in an end-to-end sense of possibilities and make it very easy for consumers. And Switch is one of the first what we call mobility as a service application to be brought to America. And it's being actually, I can share with you that it is being unfolded in Nashville, Tennessee, starting in April. So already we're starting to see this move from what's not been a traditionally well-thought or organized type of transportation system in America to leap over in areas to very, very progressive new solutions. And Switch represents a new platform for consumers to move anywhere they want, any way they want.
And just to stress that, that's going to, the Switch app will launch in Nashville next year, what month?
It's going to launch in April.
Launch in April. And how did you pick Nashville?
It was part of a, so the organization that we're working with in bringing together Skyworks and Switch, as well as our Finnish partners who developed some of the core technology, this Demand Trans, the organization that was in this press release that is partnered with Skyworks, actually won the contract to help reinvent Nashville's transit and really mobility on demand. So there's three things they're doing. They're actually closing the gaps in first and last mile service, something people are trying to do in many places. Two, they're actually bringing lower cost options for people with mobility challenges, the disabled and the elderly, because that's a really, really expensive and difficult, expensive proposition and difficult problem. And last but not least, they wanted to see how we could integrate everything from bikes to cars to, and Switch will make its unveiling there. So we're just, it's such an incredibly exciting time in this mobility renaissance. And America, I believe, has an unprecedented opportunity to really show the world what the convergence of the right kind of design, the right kind of planning, and the right kind of technology can do to change the consumer experience.
Yeah, you know, transportation is a very exciting space right now. And, you know, it almost feels funny for me to say that because until 5 years ago, it really wasn't, right? I mean, when Ford came out with the modern car, that was a long time ago, what, the 1920s, somewhere around there. And there really hasn't been a ton of innovation in this space, and it's just so amazing how much is going on now. Now, John, your vision is a very, very large vision. You were talking earlier about your background. This is what I would call, or more correctly, Jim Collins would call a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? It doesn't get much bigger than this. So tell us about your background, and does it take a finance genius? Does it take a Thomas Edison or a Ford to come up with this, or this big vision? What does it take for somebody like yourself to be able to carry something like this out?
No, you're right. It's, you know, this is definitely the BHAG of all, in some regards, BHAGs. But what you see is a little bit about my background, then I'll answer the question about what I believe it takes for people to succeed in this space. So just, you know, I'm very, I've had a very fortunate background. Again, worked through the military. I flew airplanes, so I understand the aerodynamics of it. I was brought in consistently throughout my career to help underperforming organizations get back on track. I was involved in developing the plan for the state of North Dakota to integrate mixed families and unmanned vehicles, worked with state senators there. So I got very involved in that very early on. So I understand the autonomous piece of it. I was ultimately, I wrote the strategy for the Department of Defense for five, you know, the post-war strategy for how we were going to make global mobility continue to work for us. And that's really just an amalgamation of blending commercial partners with organic capabilities in the military in rail and all its forms, right? So multimodal. And then ultimately I was asked to go to Afghanistan to, we had the $7 billion Afghan Air Force, which is the most complex, if you will, undertaking of its type. We have seven different aircraft types that were blended in an active war zone. And you're not just developing and flying airplanes. You're actually having to develop everything associated in terms of how do you train, how do you recruit, how do you sustain. So the life cycle of aviation, which is one of the reasons why it just is hard for these to sustain globally. So you put all that together. We're in the age now of a couple things. To succeed, you have to be very, very good at what I call, you know, mass collaboration, comfortable in engaging people in an emotionally intelligent way, to be able to make the design something you co-create. There is no one-size-fits-all. We know that in any business model. And there's so many different ways you could get there. So I found that you have to be highly collaborative. We also live in an age that it's all about integration, right? You've got to be able to take all these varied forms and make them work. So you have those particular ideas have to be brought to bear. And then ultimately, it's about organization. How do you build a package around this that brings the right people with the right ideas, with the right set of solutions, solve the right problem? So to me, this is really an issue of leadership. And leaders at all levels, you know, coming together to be able to work with and for people with a human-centered design. And today what we have in the realm of mobility, I would offer, is a set of tools that are unprecedented in history. Our imagination is the limit. But to your point, It's going to take folks now who can get the right people pointed in the right direction for the right reasons. And that's why I'm just, you know, kind of an uncommon background to now be thrust in the middle of kind of a public transit reinvention. And I'm incredibly grateful because, again, as you said also, it is very, very exciting. Oh, and by the way, this is a $1.5 trillion space that is being created. New money, new opportunity between now and 2030. So it's also very, very lucrative.
Well, we wish you all the best with that, preferably all over the world. I'm not so sure how much people are rooting here in Park City to see these gyroplanes. But it's a bold plan. And if my notes are right, John, you're also a general. So thank you for your service and thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity to spend some time.